The Old Testament reading is from Exodus 16. We were in chapter 15 2 weeks ago. We didn't have a service last week, of course, but we left our Israelites in Elam. Stop that. Which is a place with 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. That was the end of Exodus 15. Now, Exodus 16, we find what happens next. So they're in a place where there's lots of water. They set out from Elam, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in," that's the day before the Sabbath, "when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer," which is about half a gallon, "according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less, but when they measured it, and with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day, this would be Friday, before Saturday, which was their Sabbath, on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till morning." So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the Sabbath day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name, that's the stuff they were picking up, they called its name manna, which I think means, what is it? That's what they called it. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years, till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is the tenth part of an ephah. And that's the end of the reading for this morning. And I wanted to call our attention to a few things here, as Andrew always does. I wanted to try to do the same. 3 things that we are intended to see. And the first that should come to mind is Jesus is the bread. In John 6, he said, "Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and died. I am the true bread who has come down from heaven. Anyone who eats of me will live forever." Your fathers that we just read about here ate the manna but died. They didn't die that day, they died later. In fact, a whole generation of them died in that 40 years because we haven't come to it yet, but at some point they rebelled and refused to go into Canaan, and so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And I noticed as I read this in preparation, the manna was there for 40 years. Even though all those people were supposed to die, all of that generation, God kept giving the manna every single day, except on the Sabbath. On the day before the Sabbath, he gave double for 40 years. 1 million people left Egypt. A bunch of them died through those 40 years. A bunch more were born. And when they went to Canaan, they were a multitude, more than 1 million, maybe 3 million, I don't know. It was a huge number of people Imagine feeding every single day in the desert where there's no animals they could hunt. This is the food God provided for them until they came to where they were going to conquer Egypt or Canaan. So an amazing provision, but it's nothing compared to what God has given us in Christ. He hasn't filled our stomachs. He has filled our souls. He hasn't given us, extended a life that is sure to end in death. He has given us eternal life. We will never die the second death because Jesus is the manna who came down from heaven. So clear. This came down, they ate it. Christ came down, and we, in the spiritual sense, we feed on him. The second thing we're intended to see is God's grace. Did you catch how many times the word grumble was used here? And yet, how did God respond to that grumbling? It's as though they had prayed. It's as though they had this supreme faith that God would provide. They cried out to their shepherd, the overseer of their souls, and he supplied exactly what they needed. Is that how it worked? No. They grumbled. They didn't even grumble to God. They grumbled to Moses and Aaron because God didn't even seem to be in their view. All they knew was these two guys took us out of this place where we had plenty, although they were slaves. How good was it, actually? But they were yearning to go back to that life of slavery in Egypt, complaining to these two guys. And all the while, God is hearing those complaints and he knows they're actually directed to him. And yet he graciously treated their grumbling as though they were cries of faith to him. Then the third, that should inform us something about our praying. Let our praying be better than grumbling. God is sure to hear our prayers through Christ. If he heard these people out of whack as they were, God is so gracious and faithful. Then the third thing we're intended to see is God's ordinance of the Sabbath day. This whole thing could have been said without bringing up the Sabbath again and again, but it's so prominent here, it seems like we're intended to see God has set aside the Sabbath day to make it holy, and we are to treat it as being holy. And so, where is this chronologically in relation to the Ten Commandments being given at Sinai? Is it before or is it after? It's before. Sinai is not for several more chapters in 21 or 22. Here we are. They're just fresh out of Egypt, still on their way to Sinai. The Ten Commandments have not been thundered down from heaven, and yet we have one of them here. To remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, including going out there and gathering up this manna, and on the seventh day, no work, including going out and gathering up the manna. It's a perfect illustration of God's work in creation. He created for 6 days, and he rested the seventh day. The creation of man was on the sixth day. Maybe we would say he worked overtime that day, making something in his own image that he hadn't done in any of those other days. Maybe that's the picture here of gathering twice as much so that he would rest. He didn't need rest. He's setting that as an example for us, even from creation, that the Lord's Day is to be holy to Him. And I noticed verse 28. It's up to this point, maybe a person would think, well, okay, we've got instructions. God's given us instructions for how to get the manna and not have worms and all that stuff. But their commands. Verse 28. The Lord said to Moses, but through Moses he's speaking to all the people and even to us, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. That's what God was saying to Moses, and it's clear God intended these instructions to be commands. And it was a preview of the fourth commandment that they would get sometime later. A month or two later, I suppose, I'm not sure. And another thing to notice, how did they respond then, once they got this? That God's saying, how long are you going to refuse to keep my commandments regarding the Sabbath? What did they do? So the people rested on the seventh day. Verse 30. Are you more stubborn than Israel? They rested. They didn't all rest, but they soon learned to rest. They didn't buy groceries. They didn't go out to eat. They didn't do what they could have done those other 6 days and should have done. They rested. And it might be one of the few places where we actually read that they did something right. They rested on the day of rest. And nowadays that day is the Lord's Day. I don't like calling it Sunday. Why is it called Sunday? Because we worship the sun on that day? No, we worship God on that day. It is the Lord's Day. And if Sunday is part of your vocabulary, I encourage you to change your vocabulary. It's just it's the world creeping into our ways of thinking. And let's be different from the world. So, that concludes my remarks. Next, we have the pastoral prayer. And I'm going to pray for one thing that most of you are not aware of. I think if you were at prayer meeting, you would be aware of it. There's an encouragement to attend our prayer meeting. It's on Zoom. How hard can it be? You don't even have to leave your house. You just get online. So anyway, I shared at prayer meeting that I'd gotten a text from Deo, who is a South Sudanese fellow that we have been trying to help get his family, his a wife and son here from Africa. And we helped him get to Africa last spring, I think it was in February and March, to set the stage for being able to petition the U.S. government for their immigration to the U.S. So that was kind of a requirement. He had to accomplish something there to meet the requirements. Anyway, praise God, they conceived a child. And she miscarried very recently and was in the hospital earlier last week when he texted me. So I probably can't pray about this, but I encourage you to pray for him and Mary. His wife's name is Mary. Should be easy to remember, being the Lord's mother. Mary. And I don't know how long it'll be before she and their son can immigrate, but be thinking of her. So let me pray for some of the matters that we think about as a congregation. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are gracious, abounding in loving kindness and mercy. And we are rebels. And we praise you that you sent your son to die for rebels while we were still sinners. And we confess that we are no better people than these Israelites who constantly grumbled and refused to obey, except in this one instance when they did rest as they were told. Father, forgive us by the blood of Christ, and through his mediation, receive us as though we were righteous for his sake. Father, we thank you that you sent rain this week and in abundance. We know there are parts of the country that got more than they wanted, but it's all part of your plan. And so often in August we have drought. We thank you that you have kept us alive. And that rain is something like manna that preserves life on the earth. We thank you for sending it. Father, we thank you for bringing healing to the Barnes boys. We thank you that it turned out they didn't have COVID, but then they got something else a few days later, and now they're recovering from that. And Father, we praise you for your healing hand in their experience. We pray that they would look to you as their physician, not just of their bodies, but of their souls, and receive Christ as their Savior. But we thank you for healing them. And Father, we thank you for the measure of healing you've given Vanessa. We pray that you would restore her completely in her mind and body, and strengthen her in her faith, and enable her to join us in worshiping you in the weeks to come. We thank you for bringing Tim and Vanessa back safely, and we pray that her presence there in their home would be a rich blessing to them and to her. Father, you know the gardeners have had COVID, and we thank you that they're recovering. We pray that you would restore them completely and grant that there would not be lasting consequences to their health from having that virus. And Father, you know there were many in the Shawnee congregation last week who were said to have COVID, and we pray that you would bring abundant healing to them and preserve them, especially some of the older people in their congregation who have gotten the virus. We pray that you would preserve them and restore them and return them to their energetic service for you. And Father, we desire to be worshipers of You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and faithful servants of Yours, not like the Israelites so often, who were prone to follow the world and so often turning to where their real heart's desires were. It seems many of them wished to go back to Egypt. Father, grant that we would abandon the things of the world and truly hunger for Your truth, for Your blessing, for Your communion and Your fellowship, and all that You have given the church in its ordinances. Cause us to desire these things above all things. And certainly it would be for our soul's good if you would give us the grace to think in and have the affections in those directions. So help us, we pray. Father, we thank You for Elia's presentation to us in Sabbath school about all that You are doing. Probably not all, but what You are doing in some parts of it in Pakistan. We praise You for the mercy that You are showing that country that has officially opposed Christ by being an Islamic republic. We pray that the gospel would go forth there. We thank You for those who minister on behalf of Christ in that country, and those who are being trained even now to expand that witness. We thank You that congregations are being planted and populated by Your work in the hearts of the citizens of that country. And we pray that Your kingdom would come, and that all of Your elect in Pakistan would come to faith in Christ and believe the gospel. Help them, Father, to draft their own constitution as a denomination and their testimony. We thank You that they have adopted, it seems, the Westminster Confession of Faith and the shorter and larger catechisms. And we pray that they would draft a testimony of all that You have been teaching them, even as our denomination has its testimony. And aid those who would take up that work, who would be natives there. Father, protect Your people in that country from the devil's desire to stamp out the church, to kill the seed of the woman, that Christ would have no one in His kingdom. But we know that can't happen, because our Lord Jesus is the King of Kings, and He's the King of Devils, and none can stay His hand. Bless the preaching of Your word in this place and throughout the world where Your people gather. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.